Okay, we're mostly today's staff, the Shabbos staff, Mem Vav. We are holding at the bottom here on Mem Hey on the base. We had been discussing, well, in general, we've been discussing the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda in terms of muktzah. But specifically, right here, we've been discussing machlokas in terms of a menorah, of a candelabra. Reish Lakish said that if it's not heavy and you can move it with one hand, so then it's not muktzah, but a heavy one that you can only hold with two hands is for sure muktzah. And Rabbi Yochanan was saying that both of them are not muktzah. And the Gemara says, "Time of my, why would it be usur? Perhaps, regardless, the menorah is usur, is muktzah. And we said, my time, why would a menorah be more muktzah than other things? So Rabbi Yosef, the Amritzar Vayu, hold Adam Kovei Olam Makom, because a person sets a specific place in his house for it. So therefore, it is muktzah because the person doesn't assume that it's going to move. It's like, I don't know, a picture on the wall, etc., etc. So since it has a specific place, it is muktzah. So Rabbi Yochanan says, regardless of its weight, it would be muktzah. And Reish Lakish would say that a light one you can move, but a heavy one you cannot, again, because you're going to leave it in a place where you lit it. So now we're here, where's Amarle? Oh, it's two lines up, I'm sorry. Amarle Abayil Rabbi Yosef. One second, you're telling me that a menorah, a candelabra, is muktzah because you put it in a specific place. Farei kilas chasanim, this type of bed canopy, literally called a bridal canopy. But if you can imagine, back in the day they had beds with like an overhang. So the beds, if it had four poles, right, you'd spread a sheet on top of it, and then there'd be like a flat kind of, I guess, roof or schach ceiling type thing over the bed. But this one is slanted. It's as if you have, let's say, two poles down the middle, and you throw a sheet over it, and you have like a broomstick over the middle, meaning broomstick between the two poles, and then you throw a sheet over it. So you can see that's kind of like a triangle type shape over the bed. So this kilas chasanim, the other adam kovei olam makom, right? A person sets, this is where it's going to be, right? You throw over this bed sheet over there, and this bed canopy, right? It's kavua makom, you're not moving it, but v'amar shmuel mishum revichia, kilas chasanim mutter lintoso mutter lefarka v'shabes. You're allowed to move it, you're allowed to spread it out, and you're allowed to even take it down. So you see that even if something is kovea makom, you see it is still muktzah. So Elam Rabbi Abai says, no, what's the deal with the candelabra? It's Michel Julius. We're talking about a candelabra that has made up of pieces. And we're concerned that if you move it, it'll fall apart, and then you'll put it back together. And that is Makom Patish, Rashi says. That's already Tikkun Mana. And you may come to, that's going to be Osek Kli. And that's the problem. That's the one that would be usur. Koner Shlakish, right? Only a heavy one, or let's say a lightweight one. The stumble was made out of one piece, and you didn't have to assemble it. But a heavy one that was made of many pieces, so that's why it would be usur to move it on Shabbos. Koner says, "Ihaki, my time Rishim ben Lakish Shari." So why would Shlakish allow you to move a lightweight menorah? So Gemara says, "My Chulios." Meaning the concern of you may come to reassemble it, so that's obviously whether it's heavy or light. If it's made of pieces, I kind of jumped the gun. You'll see in a second. My time with Rishon ben Lakish the Shari, why would Reish Lakish allow you moving a candelabra that you can hold in one hand? So my Chulios, what does it mean when you talk about Chulios? Ke'en Chulios. It looks like there is Chulios. The Isbe Chidki. And we're talking about a candelabra that has kind of like indentations or kind of like artsy type carvings, and it looks like it's made out of several different pieces. And since someone might see that the candelabra you're holding is a made of different pieces, he might think it's made of different pieces. So Chazal said you couldn't move even the ones that were carved. Hilkach, therefore, Chulios, if you, and then we explain exactly what the machlokas is. Hilkach, therefore, Chulios, if you have a candelabra that's actually made out of different pieces, ben gedol ben ketano asur l'taltala, regardless, you cannot move it, whether it's heavy or not. Gedola nami is these bechidki, a big one that has these kind of, I don't know, indentations or carvings in it. So gzera atu gedola the Chulios, that's asur because you may come to move a big one that has several pieces. But, Kipligi, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is when you have a small one that has these carvings in it, and it looks like it's made of several pieces, even though it's not. Mar Sover Gazrinan, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you have a gzera. Mar Sover Lo Gazrinan, Rish Lakish says there's no gzera, since, again, since a small candelabra is usually made of one strong piece, so no one's going to think that it's made from many different pieces. Okay, fine. The basic topic we've been really been discussing Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan hold in terms of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? Does he hold of Muktzah or not? And we had been pretty consistent. We started off like that he held like Rabbi Shimon, but really we've been pretty consistent that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a concept of, you know, a broad application of Muktzah. Gemara says, one second. Me, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold like this, that there is all this broad Muktzah cases? From Rabbi Yochanan, it says halacha kista mishnah. The halacha is always like a mishnah that has no author. Right? Rabbi assembled the mishnayos, and when he didn't attribute a name to a shita, that's because Rabbi Mistama wanted us to follow that halacha. So the halacha is like a stam mishnah. Utznan, and we learned in a mishnah, which is a stam mishnah, which has no author, right? At least quoted. Mishnah we've learned a couple blad ago. Muchni shalah, if you're talking about a big stagecoach, you're talking about the wheel. I'm not going to go through all different things, but bismashin ishmetes, when it is detachable, so in chibur la, it's not considered attached. In imderesima, it's not considered measured. In matzelesima, but ohal ames, it doesn't protect, it doesn't save something that is on top of it to stop tumah from going up. In gornos abishmav the shabbos man sheish alamos, you can't move it if there's money on top of it. Implying that ha'ein ala mos sharia, but if there's no mos on top of it, it is mutter to move the wheel. Afogav devu ala benesh mashos, even if there was money on it, benesh mashos. That is Rabbi Shimon Shita who says that even if something is mukta benesh mashos, it is not mukta for the entire day. If the money is gone, you can move this wheel. So that mishnah is a stam mishnah. It's like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan himself said that halacha kislam mishnah. So how could you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Samar Rabbi Zera, Tehei Mishnah Seinu Shaloh Al Hayu Alei Amos Kol Ben Hashmashos. So it must be that Mishnah is when there was no money on it, Ben Hashmashos. Shaloh Lishbor Dvarav Shal Rabbi Yochanan, because we don't want to destroy the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan in general taught that Rabbi Yehuda is correct, and if you hold that the halacha is like that in the Mishnah, so it must be that there was no money on the wheel Ben Hashmashos. Money was put on it afterwards, so at that point it's usher to move the wheel. But when the money falls off, so then it's mutter to move it because there was no money on it, Ben Hashmashos, and therefore it was not mutter. Okay. On Rabbi Shimon Levi. Papachas halach Rabbi the diaspora. Rabbi went once to diaspora, the hora, and he paskind, bimenorah, like a menorah, in the case of a menorah, kirabi Shimon bener. Like Rabbi Shimon in terms of a lamp. Now, that's not so clear. Iboy Levi, and they asked the following question. Is that one psak or two psaks? When it says v'hora b'menorah, k'rabbi Shimon b'ner, is that one psak that he paskened in the case of a menorah, of a candelabra, like Rabbi Shimon Shita, by a lamp, i.e. you're allowed to move it, or is that hora b'menorah, he paskened in the case of a candelabra, and then he said, in the case of a lamp, we hold like Rabbi Shimon? That's the question. Hora b'menorah, k'rabbi Shimon b'ner, la'atera, o'dilma, hora b'menorah, li'isura, k'rabbi Shimon b'ner, la'atera. So Gemara says, teku, I don't know. It'll stand and it'll get resolved by Mitzvah Shem Eliyahu. Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash Ben Yishai Kamsu. Rav Malkia Ikor Lebei Rabbi Simloi. Rav Malkia went to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Simloi. The Tiltel Shraga. When he was there, he moved a lamp. Right now, Shraga is a nair. It's a candle, not a candle. Like we know a candle, but a lamp, as we've been saying. And that had gone out, Rashi says. It was lit, right? It was lit for Mitzvah Shabbos, and it had gone out. That's like Rabbi Shimon Shita. V'ikpid Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai got upset about it. I see, you see a machlokas, right? Rav Malkia held like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Simlai held like Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of that machlokas, in terms of whether you can move that land. Rabbi Yossi Glula, Igla Asre, the Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, same story, different people. Rabbi Yossi from the Galil went to the neighborhood of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Tilta Shraga. He also moved this lamp that had gone out, even though it had been lit already. The Ikpid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, he got upset. So you see, also, there's a machlokas in those Amurayim in terms of who to pass the mic. All right. Right. Okay. Rabbi Avohu Ki ikla la astre de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hava metal de shraga. And Rabbi Avoh did something a little bit different. When he went to the neighborhood of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he would move the lamp. Right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that he paskens like Rabbi Shimon. Ki ikla la astre de Rabbi Yochanan, but when he went to Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood, lo hava metal de shraga, he would not move a lamp that went out, i.e. because Rabbi Yochanan, we said before, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So go 1 second. Meimon of shach. If Rabbi Avoh holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so Le'evik Rabbi Yehuda. Why shouldn't he do like Rabbi Yehuda? Ik Rabbi Shimon, Le'evik Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, what's the hypocrisy over here? In one place you're doing like Rabbi Shimon, in one place you're doing like Rabbi Yehuda? What are you doing? So the Gemara says, Lo'olam Rabbi Shimon, Le'evik. It really holds that it's mutter, like Rabbi Shimon, to move this lamp that went out. Rabbi Yochanan, lo hava aved. But in terms of Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't want to offend him in his own neighborhood, so he didn't do it. He didn't, right? There's no problem with not doing something, right? The opposite would be a problem. If he held like, really held like Rabbi Yehuda, so you're not going to be nice to Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi and do something that you think that you hold as usher. But if you hold something as mutter, you can abstain from doing that just to give cover to Rabbi Yochanan. You know, that's totally fine. That's not a problem. So you see that he was trying to be Marvin Shalom over there between the two Rabbanim, Paskin, two different ways. Okay. Again, the Machlok is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, is whether it is muktzamach masmius, whether muktzamach masmius exists, right? This oil lamp that is made out of clay, out of pottery, we said, gets disgusting after it is burned. Rabbi Yehuda holds muktzamach masmius. It's too disgusting to move, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon says that there's no such thing, and you're allowed to move it. Amar Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda the Amora, that's somebody else. Shraga de mishva shari le tiltava. If you have an oil lamp, that's made out of pottery, so you are allowed to move that on Shabbos after it's gone out, like Rabbi Shimon Shuda. But the nafta, but if you have neft, which is a more disgusting type of, fuel for the lamp, osur l'taltala, you're not allowed to move it, because that's really disgusting. That's like super above and beyond disgusting. There's no, you know, use that you're going to have at all with it. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, don't tell you, but Rabbi and Rav Yosef, both old and after Shanami Shari Tatala, it is still mutter to move that type of lamp according to Rabbi Shimon. Again, this is within Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Okay. Rav Avya Ikla Lebe Rabba. Rav Avya once went to Rabba's house. Rav Avya Ma'isan Be Kari Betina. And his shoes were gross with mud. Right? Apparently it was raining. Right? He tracked into the house. So Atichi Apuria Kamede Rabba. And he put them on, it was unbelievable, he put them on the bed in front of Rava, right? Ikpid Rava ba'a letzure. And Rava got really upset, and he wanted ba'a letzare, he wanted to bother him about it. I mean, he wanted to ask him, kind of pelt him with questions to make him upset. And Amalei said to him, my temi Rav Riv Yosef, damit Tervayu, shraga de nefta, nami shari de totala. What is the reason for Rav and Riv Yosef that say it's mutter to move this neft lamp on Shabbos? So I'm like, hol v'chazei l'chusuri b'mana. Since you're able to use this little lamp, this even though it's disgusting, you're able to cover a kli. You can't put anything in the lamp, but you could use it to cover a kli. So Rav said back to him, if that's true, kol tzoros shebachatzer b'taltalim. So you should be able to move all the stones in the courtyard. You could put it on put it on top of a kli, put it on top of a bottle. I don't know, whatever. Hol v'chazei l'chusuri b'mana. Since then you're able to use them as some sort of bottle kli cap or something. So Amalei, no, ika toras kli ala. Ha ika toras kli ala. By the lamp, no, that's already a kli. It's already useful. But ha, honey, but by these, by the stones, leka toras kli ala, that's already not considered a kli b'chlal. So something that doesn't have the status of a kli is not usable if it's, you know, b'chlal in Shabbos. Yeah, I mean, something that has the status of a kli is not going to be a mukta unless it's completely, literally useless. But something that's not already a kli, so that requires a much more active, you know, status to make it into something that you're going to be able to use on Shabbos. Milo Tanya, Rav Avya proves Yeshita. Did we not learn? Hashirayim, I forgot, I'm not sure. Shirayim here, Rashi writes, are etzados, which is a type of, I guess, necklaces, maybe a bracelet, okay. But different types of jewelry, v'anezamim, nose rings, v'tabaos, and rings, harehin k'kol ha-kelem ha-nitmum l'chotzer. They're like all other kelem. Anyway, we know that, we'll learn soon, in a couple, I guess maybe a month or so, maybe a little less, that there's a takana that women are not allowed to go outside wearing jewelry if there's no eruv, because, you know, as is commonplace, woman gets a new piece of jewelry, wants to take it off and show it to their friend. So they may come to carry it, daladamas b'shisarad. So the question is, what about wearing these types of jewelry in a courtyard? That's b'chatzer. So this brisa says that it's actually mutter, that it's not usher to go into a courtyard, because again, you're not gonna end up moving into a rishus rabim from the courtyard. Okay, according to this brisa. So that's the brisa says. So amar lula matam, what's the reason? Whole the ikator is kliyala. Why? Because these jewelry pieces are kalim, right? They can't be used really. You know, you're not allowed to put them on in terms of wearing them and showing them to your friends. But you are allowed to use them in some other way. You can use a bracelet to, I don't know, close up a thing of bread. Whatever. You can figure out a use for these. What's it called? So it's not mutzer to wear them into a courtyard, but you're allowed to take them into a courtyard. You're allowed to move them because they still are kalim. So achanami hovi ika tars kliyala. So too over here, just like we have this lamp, which was used with neft fuel, it's not mukzah, even though, yeah, you're not allowed to, you know, it's disgusting, but you are going, you have some sort of use for it, because, and it has a Torah's kli, so therefore you're allowed to move. Amar Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Baruch Hachmana de Lukasifei Rava la Rav Avia. And Baruch Hashem, that Rava did not totally embarrass Rav Avia. He went easy on him. And so Baruch Hashem, that's, the Torah says that, the Gemara says that was a very appropriate thing that he did. Okay. Ramile Abai the Rabba. Abai said to Rabba, one second, I have the following contradiction. Tanya, on one hand, we learned, Moser HaShemen Shemener Shemeka Ora Aser. If you have any leftover shemen that is in a lamp or in a bowl, is Aser, even if the fire is gone. Rabbi Shimon Mater. Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter. Alma, apparently Rabbi Shimon less than Mutzah, right? Apparently Rabbi Shimon does not hold the Mutzah, right? That's what we've been saying the entire time. But Raminhu, second, I'll ask you a question. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'ein mumo nikar ne'erev yamtif, ein zemin amukhan. So this Mishnah is about a bechor. A bechor is a firstborn animal, and you have to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen will bring it on the Mizbeach as a korban. If it gets a mum, so if it's a mum kavua, if it's a permanent mum, it, loses an eye, loses a leg, whatever, so then the Kohen is allowed to eat it for himself. And obviously, only, and we'll see in a second, only a mumcha, only someone who's a bucky in these mumim, and he really understands the mumim and animals, right? I guess a shepherd or someone who studied this stuff is allowed to determine what type of mum it is. You'll see why that's important in a second. So, but at face value, there's a contradiction. On the one hand, Rav Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. On the other hand, you have these animals. If you don't have a mum that's recognizable, it's not considered mukhan, right? You can't shecht it, because we don't assume that it's going to be able to get a mum. So that shows that these animals, right, are mukza. So if Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a mukza, why shouldn't you say these animals, maybe they'll get a mum on yantif, and you'll be able to shecht it, because that's the halacha. You're allowed to shecht an animal that has a mum kavua, that's a bechor. So the Gemara says, "Hachi hashtag, these cases are not comparable whatsoever." Hasam adam yoshevu mitzapa emesai tichavenero. There, by the case of the lamp, so you light the Shabbos candles, you know when they're going out. They're 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. You know that you're going to end up with a lamp that has no oil in it on Shabbos. So therefore, the person is—it's not going to be mukta, because the person knows, he's anticipating, he's expecting to have a lamp available to him. But hacha over here by the animal, by the bechor, adam yoshev matapa matai yipobo mum, what, a person sitting around and waiting for the animal to get a mum? Meimar amar, maybe he'll say, mi yemar denafal ba mum, and if you tell me that there's going to be a mum, is he really going to sit around and say, who says that there's going to be a mum? Intim salomar denafal ba mum, because maybe if he gets a mum, mi yemar denafal ba mum kavua, maybe it'll be a temporary mum and not a permanent mum. And he still won't be able to eat it. And even if he gets a permanent mum, so mi yemar demizakeklei chacham, who says that you'll end up to, you know, there'll be some sort of chacham on yantif that'll come over and examine it, which happens to be usher, agav, So it's even more so, as Atosha says, that even more so, we're going to have a Chacham that knows what he's talking about, and he's going to be willing to examine it and pronounce it a Mum Kavua, which is not Motor Anyantif. So even though that's, you know, that is so far-fetched, so that's mamish not going to happen, so therefore the animal is Motzah. Okay. Masa Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Bar Chama said, I'll ask you another question. I'll ask you a question on this explanation. Right, the way we just explained. Mefir in the Darim B'Shabbos. We know that if a person takes a neder, so there is a way to get out of it. Let's say a person takes a neder, he's never going to go to the supermarket again. Never doing supermarket shopping. I don't know. I have to go to the supermarket later. So we know that there are several ways to annul nedarim. On the one hand, if a wife makes a neder, so the beginning of Parshas Matos talks about how a husband is allowed to annul his wife's nether. So that's when the Gemara says mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos. So the husband can annul his wife's vow on Shabbos. Also, you're allowed to go to a chacham, and you're allowed to say, "Listen, if I knew that I would make this nether, it would have been so hard on me and my family, I never would have made it." And the chacham, the Talmud chacham, can annul a nether in that way. Really, we're going to see that you can really, you know, when we do a taras nedarim in front of three. There are three people on Erev Yom Kippur or Erev Rosh Hashanah, whenever you do it. So that's also a way to annul a vow in front of three hediotos. But okay, meaning we can do that on Shabbos, and you can do either type of annulling of vows on Shabbos. Gemara says, Amai, why? Lema miyemar dimzakeg labal. Who says that the husband will get involved? Right? The husband will be hear the neder and decide to annul it. Like, you can't expect that the nether will be annulled. So the maisa, the item, right, that she made the nether about, let's say she says, I'm not going to eat this on Shabbos. So that should still be a muktzah, because she can't expect necessarily that her husband will say, no, I annul the vow, and now you can eat that item. So Gemara says, no, Hasam could Rav Pinchas bar Rav Pinchas Mishmei Derava, Dam Rav Pinchas Mishmei Derava, Kol HaNoderes, Adas Balai Noderes. No, because since there is this whole concept of a husband annulling vows, so any wife who takes a neder, then she knows the halacha, right? She's a learned woman, so Mishtama, she's going to assume that her husband will hear about it, and if he wants to annul it, so he can annul it, so therefore any food that she swears not to eat on Shabbos is not muktzah. Because, you know, some of the husband has a possibility of getting involved. So therefore, when he annuls the vow, so the food is not muktzah. Toshma, I'll bring another proof. What about the other way, right? Going to a chacham to annul these vows on Shabbos. Amai, why should that work? Why should, let's say, again, the supermarket example, probably not a great example for over here. Let's say a person says, it takes a nether, he's not going to eat bread. So that piece of bread should be muktzah. Or so why, how does that work, that it's not muktzah? How can you annul these vows on Shabbos, right? Lema miyemar de mizakeh lechacham. How do you know you'll get to see a chacham? So it says, awesome, over there, ilo de mizakeh lechacham, sagi le v'shlosh adiotos. Because you can just get three random guys and annul the vow, and therefore, you know, you can almost expect that, you know, if you make a neder, so on Shabbos, you can still annul the vow, and the piece of bread will not be muktzah. So, hasam, here, by a bechor, who says that you're going to get a chacham to come and inspect the bechor? Right? Not so many people, right? You can have a bunch of random people annul a vow, but to inspect the bechor, anybody know what this mum looks like in a bechor, in an animal, that mum looks like in an animal? Very few people, I would imagine. So it's not so possible, it's not so conceivable that you'll end up with a chacham, and therefore it is muktzah. Okay. Rami Le Abaye the Rav Yosef, Abaye asked a question to Rav Yosef about Rabbi Shimon Shita. Mi Am Rabbi Shimon Kavsa Mutra Lethaltala. Did Rabbi Shimon really say that once a lamp goes out, you're allowed to move it? Kavsa in loza, Kavsa lo, implying that only after it went out, you're allowed to move it. But if it didn't go out, then you're not allowed to move it. My time, oh, what must be the reason? Dilma Bahadi Dinakit Lakafsa. Because what are we concerned about? When you move it, maybe it'll go out. But one second. Ha Shamina Rabbi Shimon Dama. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, Dabba Shana Miskavi Mutter. If you're doing something that you don't have intention for, right, you're allowed to do some Mutter act, right, even though it may end up causing an Usser act. Right, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon Miskami Zmuta. What are you doing when you're carrying a lamp across the room? You may put it out, but you don't want to put it out. You're trying to bring the light from one place to the next. And that's exactly... But what about that Shita? The Tanya, like, one of the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omar, Gor, Odom, Kis, Emito, Safsal, Lubach, Lizkami, Lasos, Choritz. You can drag your bench along the ground as long as you don't have intention to make a ditch. Right? As long as you don't have Kavanah, there should be Mutter. So why can't you move this lamp? So Rav Yosef said back to him, "Kol hecha dechi mechavin, ika isura del raisa, kilo mechavin." So God's Rabbi Shimon made the Rabbana. So Rabbi Shimon only says, one second. If there is, let's translate, and then it'll become clear. If there is an issue of an isura del raisa here, right? Meaning if the person would have kavana, he would violate an isura del raisa. Kilo mekavin goes Rabbi Shimon mi derabanan. Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is gzeira derabanan that you're not allowed to do it, even if you're not, you don't have intent. But kol hecha dikri mekavin isur derabanan kilo mekavin shari Rabbi Shimon lechachila. But if you would have kavana, you would end up violating something mi derabanan. So that's when Rabbi Shimon says that Rabbi Shimon Miskavin is mutter. Meaning, according to Rav Yosef, and we're going to reject this in a second, but according to Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon only holds Rabbi Shimon Miskavin is mutter by the Rabbanans. But by the Deraisas, then it would be still usher. Masiv Rava. Rava said, what are you talking about? We had a Mishnah before that we quoted about, about 10 blad ago, maybe a little more. Mochrik, so it's Mochrin Kedarkon, a Mishnah that talks about Kilayim, that people who sell clothing that happen to have Kilayim, right? Let's say you're selling to a guy or whatever, so you're allowed to sell it in the normal way, meaning you're allowed to wear it and show it off, right? And that, even though you're wearing Kilayim. As long as you're not intending to, protect yourself from the sun when it's sunny and from the rain when it's raining. That's new in, but the more frum sellers, mafshila b'makel acharein. You hang the clothes on a stick, in the store behind them. I mean, you hang it from the wall, but just to make sure you don't wear the kelayim. V'ha'acha d'kimekavin yisur de'araisika. Here, wait a minute. You're telling me that it's mutter, really mikar adin, it's mutter for the guy selling the clothes to wear the clothing, right? If he had intent to wear that clothing for his own benefit, what's kelayim? Yisur de'araisa. So you're telling me here, lo mekavin shari Rabbi Shimon lechachila. But if since you see he's not intending to get benefit, it's totally mutter. Right? Clearly, Rabbi Shimon holds darshan and miskavin is mutter if he buy a din d'oraisa. Right? Even though this is not hilchas Shabbos, but you see that the concept applies. So Ella Marava, really, no. Rava says, and this will finish. Hanach laner shemun upsila. Leave this whole concept of a lamp and the oil and the wicks, out of the discussion. You can't move it when it's burning. Right? Hol v'nasa bosses l'davra aser, because the lamp is a bosses. Right? Rashi says Moshev es kino targumim basis. Right? The meaning of bosses is something that is supporting something that is muktzah. While it is burning, a fire is muktzah, the wick is muktzah, the oil is muktzah. Therefore, you're not allowed to move the lamp because it is a buses. We're going to talk more about buses tomorrow, but Mitzvah, that is it for today, and we will go weiter. I think it's tomorrow, right? Mitzvah is tomorrow, and we'll talk about the buses tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.